Welcome to Maru Methodist Church's Sanctuary Service, brought to you from our beautiful historic sanctuary in downtown Tyler. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We appreciate your participation in this morning's broadcast and pray that God's message will speak to you in a beautiful way. Let's join in as the message has already begun. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And then they climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Good to be with you today and to be sharing this time together. May Christ be glorified in our preaching of his word. Let us pray. Almighty God, we humbly submit ourselves now to the teaching of your word. We ask that as the seed of the scripture is sown among us, it will take such deep root that neither the burning heat of persecution or fear, nor the thorny cares of life can choke it out. But as this seed is sown into good soil, we pray that it may bring forth a bountiful harvest for your kingdom's glory. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a good work among us through your word. Amen. Well, I hope that as the Marvin Life comes to your homes, that you take an opportunity to read the publication of our church. And you might remember that in July's issue of the Marvin Life, our church's newsletter, I put an article in there about the core values of Marvin Church. And there are 9 core values. And lo and behold, last week, Justin Woodley, our summer intern, preached on unity. And so that was one of our core values. And so before we begin our new sermon series, I'm going to pop in two other core values for you. And today is going to be risk-taking. And next week will be servanthood. But again, this is bringing to light the core values of Marvin Church and our leadership as we do our ministry. So with risk-taking, I want to remind the congregation that risk-taking has been a part of the DNA of Marvin Church since its very beginnings. In 1848, those who were Methodists decided to be the first of the denominations represented in a community church that began meeting in 1846 at the courthouse to break off and begin the first church of its own in Tyler, Texas. And that was the beginnings of this great church. And in 1890, bold leadership decided to build this magnificent cathedral church known as the Cathedral of the South at high cost, which at times when the economy suffered in the late 1800s and we lost the note to this church, it was a struggle to get back. But we celebrate today this beautiful space because of the risk of those who decided to do something glorious and something that would be a blessing for centuries for those who came to worship here. Today we talk about Simon Peter, the risk taker, the only one of the disciples who gets out of the boat and walks toward Jesus. Are you a person that likes to take risks? Are you a person who likes to keep it safe? Someone who likes uncertainty or potential losses prefers oftentimes safer options. But with the safer options comes sometimes lower potential rewards. Psychologist Frank Farley spent over 30 years researching what he calls the type T, or the thrill-seeking personality. These are people drawn to high-risk situations and behaviors. They prefer uncertainty, unpredictability, and they like variety in life. They also get bored very easily and desire constant stimulation. Apparently, scientists have also identified the risk-taking gene. I'm sure the gene is in all of us, but some people have a longer gene than others. The gene is known as the D4DR gene. Those who enjoy extreme sports like mountain climbing, skydiving, base jumping, hang gliding are probably the ones who have the extended gene for risk taking. But there is a downside to risk taking. And this risk-taking gene, those people with type T personalities can also be prone to destructive behavior, substance abuse, and are more compulsive gamblers, just to name a few of the dark sins that come with this type of personality. So I ask the question, was Simon Peter a type T personality? Was he a risk-taker? He was quick to make promises to Jesus. He was the first to declare when asked the question, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That Jesus was the Christ. And he followed Jesus after his arrest to Caiaphas's house, even though at a distance, and even though he ended up denying knowing the Lord there, he was in proximity while the others were away in hiding. In our scripture today, he shows his colors by being the first to say, Lord, if it's you, invite me to come out and walk towards you. It would appear that Peter is a risk taker, but I want to remind you, friends, he is not the only risk taker in the Holy Scriptures. There are other people who, when called upon by God, took the risk and stepped out of the comfort of their lives to do something that was necessary for God and God's kingdom. At the age of 80, when most people are thinking about retirement, Abraham hears the call of God to go to a place that has to be shown to him in the future. And when God calls, Abraham goes. And then there is Noah. Noah builds an ark in the middle of the desert. And for 120 years, he probably experiences a lot of ridicule from his neighbors, but he continues to build until the flood comes and humanity is saved through him. Moses could have found it very comfortable to stay watching the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro. For 40 years, he was in that mode of profession until he came across a burning bush that invited him to stare down the most powerful man in the world and tell that Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. And he left the security of the job that he had and he went back to Egypt to face the Pharaoh and to give that message. A teenager named Mary, of course you know the story, is invited by the angel to give birth to the Son of God as he comes into the world, risking her reputation, risking maybe even her very life. But she says, may it be unto me according to your will. Speaking of Mary, she births this one who can walk on water, Jesus. And I saw a cartoon one time of a toddler Jesus in some kind of a washing container, and he is there, and Mary is saying, no, Jesus, in the water, get in the water, because he is walking on it even as a toddler. Ananias, you might recall in Acts chapter 9, my Bible reading this week, I discovered again the story of Ananias, who is told by an angel, Saul has been converted. He has been met by Jesus on a donkey. He is blind. You need to go and restore him and pray over him that he may see again. And Ananias is like, me? Are you sure about this? This is the one who's been taking to prison, arresting, you know, these Christians. Why would I want to go there? Yet God is working to save the world, is calling people for his purposes, and people in the past, in the scriptures we celebrate, have stepped out of comfort to do what God has asked them to do. John Ortberg, in his book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat, has this beautiful statement. I believe that we all have a boat that we live in, and there are significant moments when Jesus passes by and we get a glimpse of his glory, and for a moment we think what it might be like to depend on him and to be a part of something greater than we've ever done before. But the challenge always is we have to get out of the comfortable boat. So note takers, the point number one here is whether you are a type T personality, whether you like to play it safe, Will you pray for God to call you out of your comfortable boat and that you will do something great for God's kingdom? It was Karl Barth, the Swiss professor, theologian, and writer, who said of his age, "Comfort is one of the siren calls of the times." Comfort, really, at that time? I would think here in America, with all the resources we have, that comfort is one of the siren calls of the church today. We want to be comfortable when God has a nation and a world he wants to reach with Jesus Christ. And I would add to that, John Mark Comer and other theologians today are not only speaking about comfort, but about distraction, whether it's social media, whether it's sitting in front of our televisions, whether it's entertainment or things that we want to do for ourselves. We are so very distracted, we very rarely today hear the call of God upon who he's trying to reach and how he wants to use us. Friends, I would say to you this day, that life is a challenge. But we try to construct manageable lives with stability, with predictability, so that we can maintain our comfortability. Is comfortability even a word? But make note of it. While Jesus is walking on water, there are already waves that are hitting the side of that boat. The wind is already blowing the boat further and further away from where the disciples are wanting to go. The disciples are already struggling. And let me say to every one of us in the sanctuary today, your lives are probably, most likely, already struggling with something. Because if you want to be in the human race, you've chosen the wrong species if you just want to be comfortable. So you get to decide whether you want to wait for the next crisis of a medical crisis or a family crisis or a natural disaster crisis or a government crisis. Whatever the crisis will be, it will come. Or you can wait for the crisis or respond to the crisis of a Jesus who walks by and says, "I need you to reach this person for me." While we can be lured to sleep by our culture, Greg Lavoie calls this the common cold of the soul. What are the symptoms of the common cold of the soul? Sinful patterns and behaviors that never get confronted. They never bring change. Bold prayers that never get prayed. Regret over broken relationships that never get healed. God-given dreams that never get fulfilled, sacrificial gifts that never are given, or dutifully serving in the church, but never doing it out of your spiritual gifts or your God-given passions. And let me just say, I'm so proud to be a part of the Marvin Church, where we have a discipleship pathway, and we have a goal for every member to move towards being closer to Christ, but the ultimate goal is to get you to have a Christ-centered life. And as we move in this pathway together, it's going to take all of us doing life-to-life discipleship, doing bands or class meetings or Sunday school meetings or ways in which we are engaging in the discipleship practices to help another person get closer to Jesus Christ. We'll be talking a lot about that in the next weeks ahead. I read a sermon this week by Martha Chenault. Sometimes I will read messages from other pastors to see if there's ideas or illustrations. I take this sentence from her. Jesus never said that the kingdom of God is like a person reclining in an easy chair. I don't think they had easy chairs in Jesus' day, but I do think that we all get the point. Jesus has not called us to a life of comfort. He's called us to get in the game. He's called us to be actively involved in praying that God may show us who needs to be reached and how we can reach them, and saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Mark Batterson, in his book, Not Safe, reminds us that Jesus did not die to keep us safe. He died to help us to come alive. Faithfulness is not holding on to the fort or holding the fort. It is storming the gates of hell. The will of God is not an insurance plan. It is a life-altering plan that calls us to God's greater purposes. And friends, let me tell you also, we are not called to a comfortable life so that we might arrive safely at our deaths. That is not why God has called you. That is not why he has renewed you. That is not why he is recreating you. He is calling you up. He's calling you to the big leagues. He wants you to serve for greater kingdom purposes, not to be comfortable and to be like everyone else. But let me tell you, should you say yes to the call, the second thing that we encounter in the passage and we are, should not be surprised by is by the adversity and the struggle or even the failure that comes when we get out of our comfortable boat. As I mentioned a moment ago, the wind was already blowing against the disciples. And so you don't have to be formed by the church or by Christ, because the world's already forming you. The world is already blowing its wind against you. It is already trying to make you into something else that God maybe is not for. But the scripture calls us to be people of faith and to get out of our comfort. And fear is the natural response that arises when we step out of our comfortable ruts. I mean boats. No, I mean ruts. When we get in a rut, it's because we want to be comfortable and we desire to have what we use what's predictable. And when you desire to change, when you desire to pray bolder prayers, when you desire to get involved and serve, when you desire to take a risk for God, to give a bigger gift, to do something that is outside the ordinary, there will be some pushback. And in learning theory, it's called the J curve. Anytime you try to learn a new skill, whether it's playing a musical instrument or trying something else that you've never done before, there will always be a drop before there is a higher productivity. That's called the J curve. And I think if you're going to live more for Jesus, there's going to be a drop. There's going to be initial enthusiasm, then there's going to be a lot of struggle, and then you're going to realize you can begin to get some momentums. But the worst thing that you can do is to not get out of the boat and to stay comfortable. I'm thinking about Peter. He gets out of the boat. As a fisherman, he's trained to watch for the weather. He's trained to see when the storms are arising. He's trained to watch for the wind and the waves, because you never want to end up on the other side of the lake with a great catch and not be able to get back to your home to be able to sell at the market in time. So he's trained to watch the weather. So it was natural for him to do that. And have not you found this, that when God calls you to do something great, that initially you're all in and all enthusiastic, and then lo and behold, the old patterns of thinking, the old habits begin to kick in, and there's that J curve. Unfortunately for our friend Peter, the J curve was a dip, literally, into the water. But Jesus pulls him up. Jesus rescues him. Before he asks him the question, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And have you not found that to be the truth? I would say for me personally, when God calls me to uncover a hidden dream, when God calls me to go in a new direction, to try a new spiritual discipline, to try to lead in a different direction, there's always going to be an initial J curve of a drop before we can get the momentum to go where we need to go. But can we actively follow Jesus? Can we actively follow Jesus? If we're comfortable all the time? Really? If I do things that are comfortable and manageable, do I even need to have faith? I just share those questions with you. Faith is needed to do great things, and faith is connected to risk-taking. And psychologists will tell you the worst thing to do when you begin to experience the struggle is to just stop and not do anything, because it begins to build another helpless, hopeless, I can't change kind of attitude, a loss of energy and motivation. We begin to feel overwhelmed. We begin to feel defeated. And then we procrastinate and we avoid and we escape and we cycle back to where we wanted to be before in that comfortable boat. But the answer to that is, keep making one single step forward. Keep pursuing that goal and staying prayed up. Because guess what? After Peter sinks, he does not wash out of the program. He makes a mistake, and he's called out on Jesus to say, why did you doubt? But yet, friends, in two chapters later, in both Mark and Matthew, he makes that important declaration when Jesus asks, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Christ, the water walking moment, along with the healings and the teachings and everything that Jesus is about informing us, is trying to bring us to a place where we can declare, as it says in verse 33, truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God, Jesus, because I believe in the risks that I've taken and the things that I've done, that you've shown up and you've done the super when I've done what comes naturally. We learn from this that Jesus was patient with Peter, and he'll be patient with us. Risk-taking and failure was helping him to grow into the person he was called to be. And that's where I want to land the message this day, is this third point: make risk-taking always about moving closer to Jesus. Make it about moving closer to Jesus. Because listen again to Peter's question in verse 28. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, well, come on, Peter. He wasn't responding to the nudgings of the disciples going, oh, come on, Pete, you're the guy who's always the reactive one. Why don't you get out there and try it? He doesn't do that or even listen to or say to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, let me walk on water. He says, command me to walk on water. Friends, we need to be praying, God, how are you wanting to engage me in this game? How are you wanting to call me up into the ministry, into the kingdom work that you're asking me to do? And if we can genuinely continue to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, I believe we will see where God is calling us to serve him. And in Marvin's discipleship pathway, we're going to be asking you, friends, in the weeks ahead to consider life-to-life ministry, to disciple another person, come alongside them in a Christ-centered relationship, and get a front row seat to watching them be transformed in Christ as you are transformed, or to be in a band or a class meeting or another class that moves you along closer to Christ. In the history of Christianity, there have been some amazing people, John Wesley being one of them, who was ostracized by his mother church, the Anglican Church, who preached outdoors against his own conviction and faced violent opposition, but through his preaching brought revival and renewal across the nation of England, and eventually would form over 70 different Methodist denominations in the world today. D.L. Moody was dared by a British revivalist with this question: the world has yet to see what God will do with one and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. And when D.L. Moody heard those words, D.L. Moody felt inside, I want to be that man. And in so doing, did amazing things for God here in America. And in 1870, A.W. Milne packed his belongings as missionaries did in those days. They were called one-way missionaries, by the way. Packed his belongings in a coffin and got aboard a ship to New Hebrides of the South Pacific, knowing full well that every missionary that had gone to that island had died by the headhunters. But he knew full well that Jesus had called him to take the risk, that Jesus had called him to the mission field. And 35 years later, when he died, they buried his body in the middle of their town, and they put on his epitaph these words: when he came, there was no light, and when he left, there was no darkness. Wow, what a legacy of one who packed up his belongings in a coffin, went on a ship to people knowing that he could die and lose his life, and yet he was committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to taking the risk that he felt Jesus had called him to take. If you want to experience transformation, friends, if you want to be changed, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to get out of your comfortable life and move towards Jesus. And expect that you may have to do something maybe you've never done before. But don't be surprised by the adversity, the struggle, or even the failure that comes our way. But know that Jesus is patient. He won't let you wash out of the program. He will keep you engaged, and he will give you the strength to fulfill the mission. Always make it about moving closer to Jesus. And maybe, just maybe, when we gather together as Marvin Methodists in this beautiful sanctuary, we will be able to declare together. Jesus is the Son of God. We've seen his work. We've been a part of his work. We've had a front row seat to his work. And it has been an amazing journey to be a part of. Yes, we had to do something uncomfortable. Yes, we had to take risks, but it is worth it. That's the church I want to lead. I am grateful that's the church I am leading. Let's join together in making some risks for Jesus. Amen.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I want to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block from the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please use the QR code on the screen for online giving or send a gift to 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us and have a great day.